Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we are going to be talking about divine guidance, some practical do's and don'ts. One thing to remember is that your process, your path is between you and God. He is training you in particular, and he knows what's important to you. He knows how to get your attention. He knows what motivates you. And he's not critical about that. He's not saying, okay, this is something we need to deal with or fix. It's he recognizes where there's an area where you want to find out some things from him. This is a way that he can get our attention and motivate us to want him. Think about it. If everything was fine in your life, if everything was perfect, you would not need to pursue God. You would not need him. You would not need to be working on your relationship with God. You wouldn't need God. So this is one of the reasons that we can accept that the quote-unquote bad things, especially bad things, we rarely pursue God because things are going great. Usually we pursue God because things aren't going great, in whatever degree. Sometimes we don't even know what's going on. The whole point being that he wants to develop within us a habit and we could even call it a trait, a characteristic, where whatever is happening, we turn to him. Our first response is, Lord, what's going on here? Now, he wants to speak to us far more specifically than we are ready to hear him. When you think about the detail that we are often looking for, when we think about a move or a marriage or starting a business or making a purchase, we're starting at the place of yes and no. Should I take this job? Is marrying this person going to be good for me? Is this something you've put in my path to pursue? We're starting at the level of simplicity, but that's just a starting point. When we think of Jesus' relationship with his Father, it wasn't yes and no's. He had his Father's mind. They were one in their mind. Jesus knew far more than issue to issue, situation to situation, circumstance to circumstance. He was open to be taught of the Father, of his Father, of our Father, in whatever way the Father chose to teach him. So, though we are starting with very simple approach, with very simple questions, that's not where we want to end up. Our goal is that we be one, spirit, soul, and body. And as we become one, spirit, soul, and body, because our spirit is already one with God, we become one with Him. Now, we're not trying to, we get this idea that we can't be equal with God. The thing is we're in Him. Everything is in Him. So it's not a matter of equality. God created everything. There's nothing that's apart from Him. And yet we don't say everything is equal with God. It's simply in Him. So don't worry about thinking, okay, you're going to get too big for your britches, or you're going to, you know, you're thinking too highly of yourself, or this teaching negates the sovereignty or the greatness of God. Exactly the opposite. This is honors God's desire for us, because we are depending on Him to teach us and to change us and to heal us and to train us and to bring us into that oneness that He intends. We're not telling Him what to do. We're not telling Him how to do anything. Our goal is to be available to Him on all levels and cooperate with Him. And over time, release some of our expectations that limit what God wants to do in our lives. We go back to the whole concept of being co-inheritors with Christ and joint heirs with Christ, that we are born of the Spirit, and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Everything that Jesus inherited, you have inherited. One of the things that Jesus inherited was relationship with Father. You have that same relationship. You can go boldly before His throne. You can make your needs known. Your spirit, who you truly are, your true being, already knows everything you need. And in your spirit, you have already received everything you need for life and godliness. To live this life here, we don't know what came before, and we don't know what's going to come after. All we have is right now. And let's make the most of it. Let's make what's coming next, we can conclude that there's something we can be knowing God, something going on now. And if God has given you a desire for something in Him, ask Him about it. Lord, is this something you want me to pursue? Whether it's a change, a move, a direction, or a gift, or a ministry, or a revelation. Remember, in your spirit, all these things already exist. All knowledge, all power, all creativity exists in your spirit, in the spirit realm. So it's not that you have to talk God into doing anything or giving you anything. It's a matter of what is going on in your soul. Is this all lining up with what God wants to do in your soul to bring you into alignment, spirit, soul, and body? So right now, even, whatever your question is for the Lord, just ask him, Lord, is this something you want me to pursue? That's really the core of divine guidance, is asking the Lord, am I going in the right direction? Is this something you want me to focus on? Of course, that's one of our problems, and this is part of the challenge we have with the churches we belong to, is very often what we are faced with and challenged with is what is convenient or characteristic of the church leadership, a fellowship leadership, what's going on with them. And unfortunately, very often it's based on what they were taught and not what God has directed. We are very often consumed with looking at outward proof of that we're heading in the right direction. In other words, if a church isn't growing, there's a conclusion that they're doing something wrong. And growing, I mean by numbers. And very often, you'll see there's a pattern that there's growth and then a split, and then growth and then a split. And when growth is based on the effort of an individual, very often it's not going to be able to be sustained, because God is jealous over his people. Now, that doesn't mean that every split of a group is because it was based on a person, a motivation, a factor, a passion of an individual. Certainly, splits can occur simply because there is a movement towards dependence on God. Because not everybody wants to depend on God. Not everybody wants what God wants for them. So, as people learn, okay, this is how to know God, sometimes they would just rather not. And so there's a split there. So our fellowship can't be based on merely on a group or church. It's very hard to find like-minded groups the more you are seeking and waiting for the mind of Christ. The more we desire what God desires for us, the higher the cost. And not everyone is willing to pay that cost. Now, especially in the Western culture, we have such opportunity to know God, and yet we have so much that occupies our time and our mind and our emotions. When you think about what's going on in other parts of the world, where it's not a matter of having the luxury of being able to wait on God, it's people are just trying to survive. So we don't want to squander. For some reason, you and I were born at a place and at a time where we have the luxury of knowing God. And in whatever way, whatever situation he's chosen to place you in, I encourage you to take advantage of it and not think lightly of it. This one of the concepts that's crept in is the whole concept of the occupy till I come. And we think, okay, well, all we need to do is be the way we are now until whatever he does is next. But when does he come? Does he come tonight? Does he come now? And I'm not talking about the second coming or the next coming. I'm talking about his relationship with you, your relationship with him. We can go back to, again, whether you're right now driving in a car or sitting and listening to this on your computer, where is God? Even as you speak, even as you hear what I'm speaking, he's right there with you. He's sitting next to you. He's speaking to your spirit, and your spirit is speaking to your soul. Odds are there are both angels and demons in the room where you are right now. There is so much going on that you are unaware of, that I am unaware of. God wants us to be aware of them. Now there's going to be challenges. And that's what we want to recognize, that God knows exactly where we are right now. And he says, okay, this is where you are right now. This is where we want to be tomorrow. This is where we want to be next week. By the end of the year, where do you want to be? Do you want to be able to hear God this clearly? In other words, are you going to be moving beyond the yes and no? Where is your confidence level? Are you going to be seeking him regarding a gift or a healing in a particular area? Or are you looking to make a change where you want to see what he wants in an area? Or a revelation, if you have questions that he wants to answer? All these things are his ways. They are his ideas to give you a stirring up. You know, when you're satisfied, it's real hard for God to get your attention. So he creates a dissatisfaction in us. And this is what we want to recognize. Rather than deal with the dissatisfaction, we want to take it to him. So let's look at some of those practical do's and don'ts and see how this fits in with seeking his guidance. We talked about specific steps for knowing the will of God in a specific situation. I'm just going to run through them real quick to refresh your memory. First is acknowledge and remind yourself of your spiritual identity in Christ, that you are a spirit being and you already know the answer to whatever your question is. You already have the ability in your spirit to do whatever it is you want to do. Second is review the central means of guidance that we've talked about in other series. This is a much broader approach to guidance. We're being very specific about making a decision. Number three is do the research. Do your research. You do the work. A lot of times the decision is God's direction for you will become apparent when you do the research. A lot of times we're asking him questions and it's silent because it really isn't an issue, because you were asking him yes or no and the answer's already clear, but we are going to him rather than looking at the research. Again, we use the example of, you know, don't be thinking, you know, asking God, should I take this job, until after it's been offered to you. Four, decide what you want to do. Part of this is God wants us to own our decisions. 5, adjust your beliefs and expectations until you can take an objective stance regarding the issue. 6, ask specific questions. We've talked about this many times. To start with yes or no questions. And when we start into talking about a time frame in number 7, what we're trying to do is take out a lot of the emotion and be very objective. So in 7, establish a time frame for when you need an answer. For instance, by noon on Thursday. Then 8, set aside time specifically to wait on the Lord regarding the issue. This is separate from your other waiting time. 9, when your deadline comes, if you have specifically heard from the Lord, acknowledge the direction specifically. If you haven't, then just go ahead and make a decision and then give God time to change your mind. Because then number 10, you're going to set a final deadline. And then if God hasn't changed your mind regarding that decision, just move forward. And you know what? You may have made a mistake. So what? You gave God every opportunity to direct you, and that's really all that matters. Number 11, act on your decision, taking responsibility for the guidance you've received. Again, this doesn't mean that you won't have an emotional reaction. And the consequences may not fall into line with your expectation of what making the right decision should look or feel like. That's fine. Being led by the Lord doesn't mean everything's going to be rosy. But one of the reasons to do this sequence is so you can stand when the doubts come. Again, so you can be confident that you've given God every chance to lead and guide and direct you. So this is not, again, not about missing God. So let's look at some practical do's and don'ts. Do, be discreet. Decision-making can be stressful. Trusting the Lord to bring you into his rest will ultimately make it easier to have confidence that you have heard from him. The more people involved, the greater the stress. As most people will have an opinion either on what you should do or on how to decide what to do. So start the process just you and God. Next is don't shop around to get the answer you want. Truth is not in the number of people who agree with your decision. Truth is a person. Even though one benefit is by getting answers and keeping from people and then continuing to ask people will tell you what you want. Sometimes that's helpful to just embrace that. And then find out, God, this is what I want to do. Do you want to change my mind? Next is learn to say no without explanation. You do not owe anyone an explanation for your decisions or how you arrived at it. If awkward situations are likely, come up with scripts, something to say ahead of time. For instance, if you are heading into a situation where you know there will be a lot of questions regarding your decision, simply reply, "I've made my decision." This is you taking responsibility for your decision. And this next one is real important. Don't save your communication with the Lord for special needs or important decisions. Over time, you will be able to sense his direction on a variety of levels. but start with recognizing that he wants you to be available to his direction at all times, even during your daily routine. Do make decisions with others. I know this kind of contradicts something we talked about before, but whoever is involved in the decision needs to be in agreement. One person can't decide to move, change jobs, or make a purchase unless all agree. Now we'll say all adults. If you go into the process with this concept firm, you'll be able to move in confidence. For couples, for instance, each should go through this process separately, setting a series of deadlines to discuss issues that may arise. Remember, God's goal is to bring dependency on him, not necessarily to answer your questions. And so there may be healing he wants to bring, or issues in a marriage that he wants to deal with that are much more important than making any decision. Until all are in agreement, no decision has been made. In other words, just because one person has it really clear, this is what we need to do, until everybody's on board, it's not a final decision. Decide this before a situation arises, and you'll avoid a lot of needless conflict. Do include all members of the family in the decision-making process. Habits are caught, not taught. Mentor your kids by going through the process with them when they are making decisions and including them in your decision-making process, as appropriate according to their age and personal wisdom. Be a good example of the parenthood of God by letting them make mistakes and dealing with the consequences with your support. Just as you are learning to make decisions, help them to learn to make decisions by depending on God. Do remain flexible. Once a decision is made, continue to pay attention to the moving of the Spirit, both within and without. God may have some other things he'd like to discuss with you. Do make decisions with confidence, remembering you are free to make a mistake. He won't hold it against you. There will be times he will be silent when you seek his direction. It may be that you are simply on the right track already, so he doesn't have anything else to say. Walking daily independence reduces the necessity for special guidance. Do be sensitive to his redirection. All the necessary guidance is not always given at once. Sometimes the Lord's goal is to get us from point A to point K, so don't force your focus on point Z, but on the Lord himself, the process. Our enemies, by overdriving us in the direction of the will of God, can distract us from God's true purpose, whatever that may be. Do be sensitive to the still small voice of guidance. The farther we are from depending on God, the louder he might have to shout. Hearing the audible voice of God is not necessarily a compliment. Do be prepared to be on your own. It is possible to be personally in the will of God, though out of the will of God for a group. Don't impose your level of understanding or experience on others. God takes into consideration our state of development and leads according to our level of dependence. Finally, do accept the Lord's private teaching. There are some truths that we have to experience for ourselves and can't be learned from others. So be prepared to learn something different in a different way. So hopefully you're encouraged to look at the need for divine guidance as an opportunity to get to know God better. This is His opportunity to draw you to Him by our need for divine guidance. So drop me a line anytime you want to at diane@therainersclub.org. Visit the site and use the contact form if you'd like, or through Blog Talk Radio. We'll be getting back together again next week, same time. Until then, have a great weekend. This has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great night.